Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. And MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tenkata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tenkata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tenkata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tenkata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tenkata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TenkataFabrics.com.
All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Fire Engineering's Hump Day. Hang out to our show, Issues and Challenges of Today's Fire Service. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, and our partner, and I won't say partner in crime because he's technically a police officer still, Chief Terry McGrath from Louisville, has working his Sector C off for Chief Mark McNeil there, his partner, and they got a lot of stuff going. So Terry's going to be missed. He'll be back next month. But we've got our regulars. We've got Chief Scott Thompson. We've got Chief Bobby Halton. Now, Chief John Salka is laying on the beach in Myrtle Beach right now, so I doubt he'll be joining us unless it's from the beach with somebody kicking sand in his face or something. But he was talking about this little kid that was kicking sand at his guy, and they got into a big hubbubaloo. But we've got a special guest with us. We've got, and I still have to get adjusted, Bobby, to call him Chief. I've called him Captain Larry Connolly for so long. You know, we've got Deputy Chief Larry Connolly from the Collinsville, Illinois Fire Department, and man, oh man, I don't know who the hiring people are in Collinsville, Illinois, but they hooked a great one, man. They, it's fun to see your brothers and your sisters get great positions and do great. But I think I even sent Larry a message. I don't know who I'm more excited for you or for the people there to get you as their training chief. But let me do this real quick. And Larry's done a ton of work for Chief Halton with on all the different venues, and we'll get to that in a second. But Larry again was recently appointed as deputy chief of training for the Collinsville, Illinois Fire Department. Now, Southern Illinois, those of us natives from Illinois refer to that as Northern Kentucky because they're so far south there. But he's right there across the river. Larry is a 30-year veteran of the fire service and just recently retired as captain from the St. Louis Fire Department. He served in one of the busiest firehouses in the city. And for over 20 years, has facilitated training for the St. Louis Fire Department as well as teaching all over North America. I will say this proudly. Larry is a fellow CSU alum. Columbia Southern University, our family, our other family. He's been a speaker at FDIC for Chief Halton. Two sessions ago, I guess it would have been August, he and his brother delivered their keynote that they deliver all over the country, Powerless. If you've never had the opportunity to see this, you need to see it. It's incredible. It's moving. It's a great lifestyle, life checker, resetter. It wakes you up to what's going on around people around you, to all the so-called brothers and sisters that have the hats and the tattoos and the t-shirts that are not really there. Reminds us all where we need to be for people. We'll get to that one in a second. I got to shoot a reminder out to, like we always do, for Pete, our producer, for Bobby. As a reminder, if you have any questions, zip over to Twitter and send them our way. Just make sure you had hashtag FE Talk so we can get to them. Now, our topic today is the company officer and what it takes to be one of those great ones. But before we jump into anything, and I do want Larry, Bobby, if you don't mind, to kind of just touch on what he did for you keynote-wise, because it was absolutely incredible. But I've been blasting it out everywhere I can. You want to touch on the calls for papers? We've got a deadline coming up, Bobby, for the greatest conference in the world. And you get so many people that go, so why don't you submit? Oh, I missed a deadline. I'm like, this is not like a surprise. Chief Halton and Diane Rostra, they don't go, let's just pick a date out of hat and say this is when you have to. We know it's coming. So there's no excuse to not get your stuff submitted if you wanted to. So don't complain about not teaching at the greatest conference, the biggest conference in the world where everybody wants to go, if you don't submit your stuff. So get it in. Bobby, go ahead. I want you to touch on that. Plus, let me just say this. I think I told you, Bobby, I've been teaching for you forever at FDIC. I taught my first class there actually in the early 90s, before even Penwell, now Clarion, bought them. This was the best FDIC I've ever had. It was just, I don't know, maybe it's because after the pandemic, Bobby, but it was the best. I can go, well, the plane was late, this, that, whatever. I'm telling you, the whole thing was a hit. And I don't know if that was because of the pandemic or not, but I'm just going with, I loved it. But you want to touch on that? And then let's get
a little reminder out there. That was the best one ever. Then that's it. I'm out of here. It was a good run. Yeah.
He's really gone, though. So why do you think that, Bobby? And then
the old Johnny Carson line, meanwhile, you're on top, right?
So why do you think? And then let's jump into the reminder.
Well, I think for a lot of reasons. I think, you know, after 18 years, I finally figured it out, you know, which is not really true. I haven't figured it out. But what's really important is that, well, two things. Obviously, post-pandemic, everybody's more than anxious to be done with this stuff. But also, networking at that scale is just invigorating. In other words, and I love small conferences. My buddy Ray McCormick the other night was on, I think he was getting salty, or no, he was on Daily Scrap with Corley Moore. Great guy out of Moore, Oklahoma, too, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Daily Scrap.
There you.
Super guy. It's just a man you want, and what a great show he does. A little shout out to the Daily Scrap. If you want to put a great podcast in, this is he's a super guy, great interviewer, just a super guy. So anyway, you know, Ray said it best. All the shows have a quality about them, you know, and I know the firemanship guys haven't gotten completely back yet, but as soon as my buddy up in our buddy in Portland, the kid from the city who moved to Portland.
Cody Tressler.
Cody gets back up and running. That's an amazing show. Andy Frederick's Day is an amazing show. Kirk Eisenson puts on amazing shows. The state shows are amazing. Right now, the New York State Chiefs are firing up in Syracuse. Those are amazing shows. You know, and you have a great time. Where FDIC is different is, and not that it's overwhelming, but it's so big that whether you're in the lobby of the hotel, whether you're online at the Steak and Shake at 3 a.m, or you're, you know, seriously, you're getting off the plane. It's the magnitude of it. But the magnitude of it is that from beginning to end, you know, like, and I love going to small shows, but when you get back from the small show, you got your hotel, you might not bump into anybody. You might not, it just doesn't stop, right? So your momentum never leaves you for the week. The whole week you're like, you know, whether you did the workshops or the hands-on or you just came in for the conference, and everybody brings their A game, and there's so much, right? Like the biggest complaint we get about FDIC is there's too much class. You're doing too many classes. I can't see them.
Too hard to choose.
Kidding. Yeah, there's 35,000 people here. We have to have 28 classes going every hour. We wouldn't be able to put all the people anywhere. You got to do the math. You know what I mean? So, and it's exciting because, you know, you might have like this year, this is a true story. You had a doctor talking about, we're talking about the care and feeding of your medical director. And it was a really important talk because the guys in there were like, how do you do this? Right next to him was a kid doing limited staffing tactics. I mean, so one room, limited staffing tactics, the next room, care. Now, many of us, if not hundreds of us listening to this thing right now do both those things. We have to manage limited tactics, and we have to deal with our medical director because we've
And Bobby, real quick, I told you this already when we were there. Absolutely brilliant marketing on your guys' behalf, because you know it. Every one of us has a budget. Larry's got his budget now as training chief. All right, pick your conference, Scott. You want to go to as a firefighter. You go to FDIC, you go to GEMS, or you can't go to GEMS. You have to go this, you know, or you know, Lisa, you got to choose women in fire versus, and then you all of a sudden kind of very sneak, all of a sudden, boop, women in fire is there at Indy. And then GEMS, we all do EMS. And I was just like, this is incredible. It was, and now you can send people and they can get whatever they need on one trip instead of going pick what you want to do. I remember saying it, pick where you want to go. Sorry, we can't do both. So no, anyway.
And so Eric Moeller just said full immersion networking at FDIC. What a great way to say it, Eric. Full immersion charges your body and helps bring humility to all. He's exactly right. Every room I walked into, and I apologize, sometimes I walk in a room and people call me out and I hate interrupting classes, but I love doing it. Well, but I get to banter with you knuckleheads, so that's kind of fun. But every room I walked into, I was learning. And that's the cool thing about our job. You know, every single one, you know, I don't care if you're Scott or Ricky or me or Larry, we'll all admit it. You know, we could be sitting with some young guy who came on 2 days ago and he could say something to us and we'd be like, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? Okay. But that's the cool thing about being a firefighter. Is there so much we don't know? And you know, I just love it. And some stuff we know, but we don't know. Katie taught me how to do a one-man raise 2 years ago. And I go around showing people that now, like I figured it out, you know what I mean? But I always try to give her, you know, I always throw it back to that class and how she taught me how to do it. But it was lines, ladders, and drills. So FDIC, the call for presentations, the point of the whole rant. Oh, and Hillard Ewing says, been on that 3 a.m. line. I think I was right behind you. I was right behind you, Hillard. And some of my best and favorite memories. Yeah, me too. You know, the steak and shake at 3 in the morning. If you haven't been on that line, you are missing out, right? It's just a super, and it's all over. It doesn't have to be 3 in the morning. It could be 3 in the afternoon. It could be, two in the afternoon. It could be 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, and how easy is it to get hooked? You know, I, you know, you met my volunteer chief here, my chief of my department, Wichita West, Ryan Fetzer and Chris Bashford. And now Jim Spears, who paid his, you know, here's another guy, a volunteer that paid his own way as a veterinarian. And he got hooked up with Kevin Shea. And then I think Diane said he's the official FDIC, you know, veterinarian. And they were talking and he's like taking every class. And it's so many people go there. I know Ryan and Chris and now Jim, they're hooked. It's like they're already, when they're there, they're already talking about next year.
But to your point, Ricky, and exactly that. Now, Jim needs to put in a class because he's a veterinarian. And Scott, how many animal calls do you guys average a month or so?
Well, we probably do 5 or 6, you know, a year. Not a lot with us, just we don't have it, but we certainly do them. We just don't. But Braden in Dallas just made one with a horse trapped in a car wash. So large animal, and that's the USAR team. And they were like, you know, what do we do? So you're absolutely right, you know. And just knowing about the anxiety that horses have and treating that and all those things would have been beneficial. The horse didn't make it, but they talked about that.
And it was funny, guys, because, you know, when I introduced him, Kevin said, You know how Kevin's such a sweetheart, Kevin Shea. He's like, you know, I've got goats and can I ask him a question? Sure, you can. He's an awesome even meet you. First of all, you're one of his heroes. Jim's just loving FDIC. This is a guy, he and his wife, Scott, you like this. They're both Aggie graduates. Okay. Kids and everything else. And he's been a vet forever. He's the medical director he's our vet. And he and Kevin sat down for 45 minutes, an hour. And Kevin kept saying, I feel so bad. I took an hour away from his FDIC. This is on Sunday. Well, after he got done registering, there was really nothing. I mean, there was stuff going on. And then Jim goes, I really feel bad. I'm taking time away from Kevin. I said, we both of you shut up. You both are worried about taking each other's time. And now it's just so easy, like I said, to get hooked, you know, But yeah, that's a great idea. That guy deals, I mean, here we are in Texas. He deals with everything. I just asked the other day, we're at a funeral, and here's a guy that put himself through his EMT school, the academy, everything. Wild man. His locker, he's so over the top. He has everything in his locker. But anyway, I asked him, we're standing outside his funeral after setting the flags on our ladder trucks. And I'm like, so what's the smallest, most, he goes, oh, and he went into this story about this lady with her rats. And over the years, she spent $50,000 euthanizing rats and doing stuff. And, you know, and he was, it just, anyway, but back to the calls for papers. I'm sorry, Bobby.
No. And Stan Mettinger Jr. just put in, after years of wanting, I have finally submitted my first proposal. Stan, I promise you, I'm going to read it myself and get your feedback. I'd love, could you shoot me another message, Stan? Let me know what it is you put in. So I'll recognize it. Just like what your title was or a quick description, if you don't mind, and on Facebook there, if you're still listening. So, and thank you for that. So to my point, and Stan and Hillard and Eric and everybody on here, everybody in the American Fire Service can teach at FDIC. I don't have all those slots. I mean, you know, I've only got limited slots, but just because you're not Larry Conley or you're not, you know, Ricky Lasky and Scott Thompson, and obviously we want those guys to be there, those big name guys, I also want to bring in folks that have never been there before. We brought in Bobby Eckert a couple of years ago. We heard all about Bobby. What a home run. What an amazing, what a fine young man. What a great gentleman. What an incredible energy. What a brilliant guy. There's everybody in the fire service has something to offer that they know better than anybody else. And to the Kevin Shea and the veterinarian conversation, can you just imagine that? Here you have a man who's dedicated his life to killing animals and a man who's dedicated his life to saving animals. Kevin's an avid hunter. I'm just teasing Kevin. But, right, Scott? Isn't that just, if you want to know what kind of load to take down a deer, if you want to know what the best rifle is for boar hunting, yeah. And my buddy Lenny Carmichael, he went hog hunting here in Oklahoma with the state cops from Oklahoma, took him out hog hunting the other day. And he got one. He was a 308. I asked him if he was doing 5.56, but he did a 308 and got himself a hog. So he was hog hunting here in the great state of Oklahoma, but my buddy Lenny, and he's doing some ICS training. But you know, if you're on the fence about whether or not you got what it takes, you do. And let me tell you got to start writing. And because if we don't know you, we don't know you, right? And Scott reviews for us, Larry reviews for us, Ricky's been reviewing for us for years. You know, if we don't know you, it's hard for us to take a chance on you. And so, you know, a simple article for the online, and we'll help you learn how to become a great writer. You know, we have wonderful people that'll mentor you along and get your stuff going. I read a couple of good pieces today that we're putting online. As a matter of fact, one was about being a company officer. And then my dear, dear friend, Anthony Correa, who's a wonderful guy, he's up in the Jersey area. Great EMS guy, great firefighter. He's the guy who did the Grateful Dead, Lessons I Learned from the Grateful Dead class, which is a great class. It was Grateful Dead was a rock and roll band for you younger people out there that was very popular. Well, they were, probably have some younger people have no idea who the Grateful Dead were, except for the biblical reference, right?
How can you be dead and be grateful, Bobby? that's what they're saying. What is this? You know,
it's a biblical reference. So
I know.
So anyway, but Anthony took his experience of being a huge fan of this band, and the band had a great marketing program and a great, you know, deal. They loved to play live shows. That was their gig. Their gig was live shows and not so much albums and that kind of thing, just live shows. And they were known for it. So that was their gig. And so he used that and made a great class out of it. He still teaches it today. If you Google Anthony Correa, Lessons I Learned from the Grateful Dead, it's a super class. And he's a super guy, but we're talking this week, and we've only got 2 days left. But he's talking about doing something else. The things to avoid in your presentation proposal. And sorry to go on so long, Larry, because I know we want to talk about company officer. But watch out for the big categories like leadership and stuff like that, because we get a lot of that. You know what I mean? Like Chief Lasky does leadership. Chief Thompson does leadership. You know, we've got a lot of leadership stuff. What I look for is the real tactics classes too. You know, if you're doing like ladder placement for residential houses, I would go to that class. That's an important class. If you're doing hose loads hose loads for your department based upon neighborhood, where you look at the neighborhood and say, okay, here we need to do a Minuteman. Here's where we do a, you know, horseshoe load. Here's this, we're going to need, you know, garden apartments, you know, packs here. We're going to need, you know, maybe lead out lines. Those kinds of things are really important. Drill classes, the 10 drills to make every engine company successful. You know, those kinds of things. Remember, it's a train the trainer program, and things like ethics and principles and morals and stuff like that are very hard to train, right? They're easy to describe and easy to talk about, but to train to them is difficult. Your parents are really more responsible for that than your drill instructors or your trainers. But everyone who comes to FDIC wants to take something away. So those classes still have value. If somebody wants to get up and talk about ethics and principles, that's great. And we do have a certain amount of that. But maybe how to lay out your ambulance so that you're ready to fight fire and ready to save lives at the same time. Because most of our ambulances are carrying bunker gear and forcible entry tools and hearse tools and stuff like that as well. Especially, like, I'm sure in Collinsville they're doing that. So, you know, those guys and gals wear two hats all the time. And so those kinds of classes would really resonate. Remember that we're really trying to get as much CAPC credit, and CAPC is basically an organization that gets you EMS credits for classes that you take. So if you're doing a class on, firefighter emergencies, talk about how to manage an airway in a firefighter who's, you know, completely encapsulated, or how to manage hemorrhaging, or how to, you know, take firefighters' clothes off. Years ago, we had some great articles on how to remove superheated bunker gear, because bunker gear gets superheated when people get it. So how do you remove it without burning the firefighter, right? Without causing further injury. Those are important classes. We'll look for stuff like that. So if you can think of a way to work some stuff in, so we can go for CAPC credit for your class. We did a survey, and we had 11. So of the 19,000 firefighters who responded to the survey, 11,000 of them said CAPC credit for the classes was important. That's more than 50%. So, you know, and that was just what was the most important thing. So, you know, getting that CAPC credit, you can come to FDIC and take care of all your EMS credits for the year, right? So that's a big deal. So you want to be looking at that, putting an EMS component into your training. And then you want to look at stuff, you know, like that's compelling. Like Kirk did his People Before Water class. I think that's the title, right, Ricky? Wasn't that Kirk's class this year? And that's a big topic right now. You've got our keynoter is going to be Brian Brush and Danny Sheridan and Brian Zaitz. So, Brian Brush did the rescue project. Scott, you're real familiar with that. You helped with that. And so, you know, Scott's class is kind of a out of that genre, right? Addressing that, why we did that, why Brian did that project. Kirk kind of nailed that. So if you've got a topic that's timely, like if you're talking about, rescue profiling, for lack of a better word, like, you know, when do we not lay in because you've got to get there, right? When do we, you know, do this or do that? Those are important classes, and they're important conversations to have, because every fire is going to, you know, Chief Thompson knows it, his troops might go right in one day without a line, and absolutely, and the next day they might grab the plug, lay out, pull a line, pull a second line, because every fire is going to have that different deal. So, you know, go with what you know, put it in there, and if you've written for us, you know, give us something that you've written about. That would be a real help to me.
Well, and I know, Bobby, I've been reviewing since 1996 for you guys, and I know that's always been the key. Is, you know, I always look for, based on the article that I wrote, published in Fire Engineering Magazine or in GEMS or whatever, you know, I've always looked for that. And if I see that, I go right to the stuff to see what they've got. There's a lot of people that go, yeah, I've never really taught before, but I want to teach the biggest conference of the world my very first time being out there. And I'm like, God bless you. But, you know, that's why I'll go, well, it looks good. But I don't know, because I've called around or whatever. Write an article, get it in there, get published now, especially with there's so many ways with Clarion to get published, you know, the web. And I mean, just, you know,
And books, if you want to write a book, get a hold of me. I'm running the book division now, so please get a hold of me. And check out the Fire Academy. We've got all kinds. The Fire Academy that we just launched is one of the most innovative places. And if you're working on the Fire Academy, you know, if you're submitting stuff to that, I'd love to get you at FDIC, because the Fire Academy is the most affordable online training program that you can participate in. It tracks, it does all your record management, it does all that stuff. So if you're interested in that, let us know. And we're building that out, more and more stuff every day. We're bringing on more and more great writers and content producers, you know, from the fire service to put in really just the best content possible, plus all the stuff we've already had. And the final thing I will just say is that as we go through this process, if you do put in, don't feel bad about getting rejected. I've gotten rejected a lot from FDIC. Chief Thompson and Chief Lasky can attest to this. Chief Brunicini and I both put in classes multiple times, teaching together, and got rejected. So just, you know, and that was Alan Brun, an honest rejection. Alan Brunicini and Bobby Halton, we wanted to do this thing called the Fog of the Fireground. We got rejected twice. And it was kind of a message. Maybe your class sucks. I'm just kidding.
Well, maybe it's, you know, and I tell people, especially, and I know we got to get going here, but when it comes to writing articles or whatever, read the magazine first. Make sure somebody else did. A lot of guys send me stuff, Bobby. I always send them to Diane, right? We're always hunting for people. When we're out there traveling, come on, you got to write an article. You got to do this. And I'll help them back and forth. And then Diane will say, have you reviewed it? Yes, I have. It's good to go. Like Jim Stevenson from Warren, Michigan, next to Detroit, has got some great stuff coming up for you, Bobby. But read them. I mean, don't write an article. And I go, that was just published like 2 months ago by a different. I mean, it's almost the same thing. You know, you got to see what is being written and published and what's being taught. Find your own little glitch. But it's hard, I know, for you to turn around and take up a class or something for somebody that just taught the same thing or wrote the same thing.
And to that point too, though, there's nothing new under the sun. You know,
right.
If you want to write about hose loads, it's been done a million times, do it again. You want to write about fire attacks, it's been done a million times, do it again. Because you look at it differently and you might resonate. And remember that the fire service reinvents itself just about every 4 or 5 years. Seriously. I mean, you know, folks promote, right? So the guy or gal who was a captain is now a chief, and the kid who was riding backwards is now the company officer, the engineer. So, you know, and the average career is about 20 years on the career and volunteer side. And then some people go longer, like me, they just don't know when to quit. And some people, you know, go shorter, and that's fine. Because a lot of times folks come in like the volunteer fire service, things happen in their lives, they have to step away and then they come back or they don't. But so we always have, there's always people who don't know what you're talking about when you say smooth versus fog, or they don't know what you're talking about when you talk about reading smoke or any of the things that we all take for granted. You know, we were talking the other day about the energy efficient, you know, what they call it, the acronym for it, building coatings. And I must have gotten 15 emails from people saying, can you explain to me what that is? And I was like, yeah, no problem. So I sent them to the building construction site that defines it really well about the different types of, you know what I'm talking about, Scott, like the stuff they use instead of stucco now that's energy efficient. They could basically glue it onto the buildings and, you know, for insulation and such. But so anyway, sorry to be so long-winded about it. I get excited about the show.
Get your calls for papers in.
one more pitch, and Chief Conley and Chief Lasky and Chief Thompson are all members of the Fire Academy. All their classes are up there and courses are up there. And Chief Conley is going to be adding a new one in the webcast that he's doing with his brother at the end of the month, right? What day? That's Thursday the 30th, right? And I may be able to open that, Larry. I will, Ricky, I'll be in an airport that day. So I'll be on my phone.
That's a shock.
That's a shocker. I'll be on my phone in the Newark airport introducing you. Hopefully, Larry, I'll be able to hang on long enough. Or maybe I'll be on flight 2286 out of Newark to wherever the hell it's going.
Or delayed, as happens.
Or delayed, as is my normal mode of transport.
Well, so, let me throw this out.
Company
there.
Officer, Rick.
We're talking company officer stuff, and I always ask Bobby to give us an update on FDIC and fire engineering and everything else associated with Clarion. This was our chance. We had to get the message out there about getting your calls for papers in, and the deadline's coming. No excuses afterwards that you didn't do it. But before we jump into the nuts and bolts about what makes that great company officer and what makes the not so good company officer, Larry, you know, you did that talk for Bobby, for all of us, you and your brother, and put together, you know, we talk about powerless and that, but apply that, you know, to the company officer. You know, we talk about, we've said this before, the brothers and sisters and everybody that talks about, you know, they all have the hats and the t-shirts and the and there's some guys that have that stuff and they're great, but you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that do a lot of talking, but aren't really there for you. It's so easy to do this when somebody's having a hard time. It's so easy to do this. We talked such a good game. I'll give you an example, Larry. I asked Paul Combs to do me a drawing because we're doing a thing together, and it has a firefighter sitting at a kitchen table, and he's got notes all over him that say PTSD, marital problems, financial problems, kid that ran away, blah, 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 blah. And he's got a big red blinking clown nose, flashing nose, says help. And across from him is a brother, sister, brother firefighter, and they're all sitting with their thumbs on their phones. He's sitting right in front of them, and we talk about how good we are taking care of people, but we miss it with people right at the kitchen table at the firehouse at our volunteer career firehouse. So let's start off with talking about the company officer, that program you did, and you do all over the country, all over North America. Why should we be, we know why, but for our audience, why should we be attacking and sending that message out there?
Well, thanks for the question. And I really think that sometimes we forget that we'll get so caught up in being a firefighter. We get caught up in all the neat tools, the big red truck, you know, just everything that we do as firefighters. And somehow what I saw years ago is like we were so busy feeding that fantasy, that monster, that brand, that we begin to lose ourselves as people. And the genuineness of people just being connected is probably more important, because I think everything springs from the inside out. So when it springs truly from the inside out, any quality relationship you have, whether you're married or your siblings or your neighbor or whatever, those long-term quality relationships come from inside before we deal with the peripherals of who you are, what you do for a living, or any of the titles that we attach. So we really felt the need to drill down on the person. And when you do that, you can't help but notice nuances. I mean, all of us have children. So when my children would be something changed in their behavior, me being in touch with them helped me recognize that early on, maybe sooner than later, so I can help and be engaged. And so at the firehouse, we're family as well. And so instead of isolating it like that's the job or that's that, we have a certain uniqueness in our family. You said something funny at the conference in Myrtle Beach was I've used before myself. You know, you don't really see a lot of other professions where, you know, people wearing the pipe wrench on their shirt and saying I'm the greatest plumber in the world, or you go to FDIC or plumbers or something like that. You know, but as firefighters, we do. Everybody on the block knows that's the firefighter because they have the sticker or the mailbox or just, you know, they're known. But that's the brand. But to me, when we drill down on who we are as people and try to constantly be better at that, we can't help but naturally be better as firefighters. And if you can't get it right with the people that you know and that you're really supposed to care about, then to me, it's suspect to how well you're going to do that in the street. How empathetic are you going to be in the street? We all have had frequent flyers. Frequent flyers really test how much you love people because you already know the routine, but you got to treat it brand new each time. And just like you would forgive your family member over and over again, you know, with, of course, within reason. I know there's some way out unique situation, but you would normally forgive your family members, you got to kind of forgive their frequent flyer with the same attitude, because it's not so much that you represent the brand because you don't want to lose your job. That true empathy of people is not going to just flip a switch when the call comes through. Larry, it has to be something that's constantly practice here. And when you perfect it here with each other, then it's easier to do it in the street. And the team is better because when we're doing it with each other, our team is ready to handle the stresses of the unknown and the known incidents that we have to deal with in the street.
Well, Larry, I said this before. I had a guy, I've got a great fire department, volunteer fire department I work for with great leadership. I brag on Ryan, my chief, all the time. But one of our younger guys, it was 2 a.m, was like, we want a lift assist. Frequent flyer. And, you know, I had a guy a long time ago ask me, do you have frequent flyers in Texas? He says, yeah, we have frequent flyers. We just don't call them frequent flyers. We call people that use the ambulance a lot. And I asked this guy, he says, I hate EMS. I go, so you hate taking care of people? He goes, no, I said, I hate EMS. I said, no, you hate taking care of, look, you know, and real quick, I said, you know, 2 a.m. to get up to go help somebody. Sometimes when you're going, oh, again, this is, you know, fifth time this week or fourth time. My dad died a year ago, Father's Day. Okay. Gunnery Sergeant, Korea in the Marines, tough old Polak. The last month he was alive at my cousin's house, 5 times he got up in the middle of the night because he's stubborn and fell each time trying to get to the bathroom. The Grand Chute, Wisconsin Fire Department will always have a special place in my heart. They got on their ambulance, they got on their fire engine, they drove there while my dad moaned and groaned and fought him. They put him back in bed. They had no idea he used to be a firefighter. They had no idea he was a vet. They had no idea he's my kid, which shouldn't matter at all because I'm just a firefighter. They took care of my dad like that was their dad. And you can't do that if you don't care about people. And you don't do that without, and I'll go back to, it all starts in the company office. If my Lieutenant Bill Allen, I say this in class all the time, ever thought I was treating a patient, any patient, especially a senior, like they were a nuisance, I've said this on a show before, Scott and Bobby. I get nauseous even thinking that. I can't even imagine what he would do to me. When you have bosses, we have company officers that don't set expectations for their people, saying, you know what, that's family out there. I don't care if they got a suitcase packed. Sure. It is not your job. You know, you get out, you will treat these people in this town like they're your, that those are your kids, those are your grandparents, that's your car and everything. You know, we forget just what you said. If you can't treat the people around you with respect, I tell people everywhere I go, I'm blessed. And I'm not saying it. If you took Bobby's picture and went boof off the screen, I say this everywhere I go. I'm blessed to work for a man who embraces mental health awareness, that you don't, you're not a coward. You're not a weakling. Yeah. I can't believe I get emotional about this because of my son. That, you know, we used to make fun of you years ago. And I got a boss who has embraced this on all levels, that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to teach people in the academy that what you see as a firefighter isn't normal. And it's okay to ask for help. And going back to your program and what Bobby had you do for us, what you do all over, the awakening it does. It, for me, it's a fine tuner. And I think I'm a pretty caring person. It just makes me want to be even better to people at what I'm already doing. Right. Scott, you know, let's, and I'm, I got
to
get
whenever, off. Whenever I talk about company officer, I always go to the Bible and to read. It provides a vision at the company level that can make a difference between success and failure. I think that's probably one of the smartest lines that was ever written. And, although, you know, my friend Ricky Lasky, he has a signed copy, but I don't have a signed copy. I don't know why.
That's because you just took yours off the shelf. You just
need a signed copy, too.
Because you're like one of the owners of the company. You just took yours off the shelf and said, I want a copy.
I'll take care.
Do you know, Rick, you know a guy who can help me with that?
I got a guy. Hey, Rick, just tying into what you said, though, you know, I say in one of my classes, the respect to this thing, Bobby, the respect we earn on our good days will determine the forgiveness we get on our bad days. And we're all going to have bad days. But the calls you're talking about, we have total control of those. We can be rock stars. We can be compassionate at our own pace, our own tempo. And we can really determine exactly how those calls that you're describing are going to go. And then when we have a bad day, those are the people who are going to say, no, they're just having a bad day. They're really professional, compassionate people, are they going to say, no, they're always like that. They just don't care. And we need to remember that, because we're going to have a lot more of those opportunities than we are the others.
I'll go back to it. The chief, in most places, there's just under 40,000 firefighters in the United States alone, and then we got our brothers and sisters in Canada. The chief, in most places, isn't riding the front seat You know, it's the company officer. It's the lieutenant or captain. It's going, Larry, probationary firefighter Larry, come here. No, dude, that is someone's grandmother sitting there on the floor right now, or that's someone's, you know, it all goes back to like this topic we're talking about, that great company officer. So, and how you dictate to your crews, this is how we operate. This is how we run. Leadership is like parenting, right? We're talking about it. You see kids that are acting out of turn. You can probably look back to the parents 9 times out of 100 go, there you go. That's right. You look at firefighters that are acting a fool, treating patients like crap or whatever. You turn to the company officer and go, really? So Larry, let's throw this back to you, because we're going to kind of go around the table here with, what do you look for? Let's talk about, let's zero in right now. We've hit on a bunch of great attributes already of the great company officers. You know, we've already hit on them. Some of it in a roundabout way, some of it very direct. Just what Bobby was talking about, FDIC had a lot to do with our topic with the company officers, with training your people, do what you have to do, and being creative. Larry, what do you look? You 30 years on the job, busy company, seeing fire all the time in St. Louis, very passionate about your crews. Now you're a chief of training. Between being the cap, when you were a captain, and now with your new position, what do you look for? What are the traits you look for? You know, that would tell me that you, if you turn and said, I can tell you, Rick, that's one of my great company officers, and this is why. What are the traits that you see with that person that makes them great?
One of the things I look for and notice is that how well they operate when the lights and cameras are not on. There's a lot of, I've noticed over the years people who, when there's downtime, they are down as well. And to me, when it's downtime, they should be kind of a little more intentional, a little more engaged. And then what it does is that creates the leadership at the firehouse. So then you can do more managing at the fire scene. But if you have to lead at the fire scene, a lot of leadership at the fire scene, then to me, you probably wasn't investing as well as you should at the firehouse. So when I see company officers investing at the firehouse, whether it's consistent training, they know different quirks and particulars about their crews and things of that sort. To me, that's an indication that they're dialed in, and then they're probably going to be great at the scene because there's consistency. When I see someone that's what I consider maybe not so good behavior as far as the fire department would expect at the firehouse, whether it's a crew member or a company officer, is usually a parallel to how well they act in the street. And so I think when you master that at the firehouse, every time we hit the street, we don't know what kind of pressure we're going to be under. It could be mild pressure, it could be, you know, heavy pressure. But when whatever that pressure is, if you haven't done it right at home, your bubble might burst in the street. So when I see a dialed in company officer where I always kind of pride myself is that not only with my crew, but maybe even neighboring crews in my district, a lot of people really, because in my retirement last roll call, I remember there's a lot of people walked up and one of my kids say, you got kind of a personal greeting for almost everybody. You ever seen like a basketball team, like when my sons play basketball, everybody had a special thing when they got introduced, you know, special handshake. So it's not that elaborate, but I do have a special, like, you know, whatever, whether it's a handshake or a verb, a phrase that we say to each other or something, to where we're dialed in. And so being dialed in and really building up that people skill is going to be a lot easier for you when it comes to the pressures that we have to deal with in the street. So when I see a company officer dialed in like that, is usually a pretty good indication that their company is trained well and they know how to take care of business in the street.
Well, and I always found it kind of amazing, you know, over the years that the busiest fire departments that fight the most fires train the most. Mm-hmm. You know, not just FDNY, you know, Stockton, California, Wichita, Kansas, Louisville, you know, and the ones that don't have as much work are the ones that train the least. I'm like, wait a minute, shouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be the opposite? I mean, you know, if you, you know,
that's because work humbles you.
it does.
That's a great point, Bobby. Yeah. You realize how much you don't know because you're getting your ass kicked daily.
So, yeah. Exactly. And fighting fires and cutting people out of cover, those are all tasks. Those are all bullet points on a job description. But like Larry, we all agree. I mean, everything starts back in the firehouse. Scott, you've been hiring and training firefighters for decades, literally decades. You know, the county is a great fire department full of great people. You know, and I'll not to say this to embarrass Chief Scott Thompson to our viewers, but if you work for the county, you probably don't even know this. He wears us out bragging about the guys from the county. I'm just going to say that. I know chiefs out there that when you run into them, they talk about themselves and about this. They have the 9-foot arms. They take their pictures next to stuff. And Scott will wear you out about how great the people are in the county, and not just at fighting fires and doing stuff, just how great they are. He tells stories about trainings and things and interpersonal. What do you look for, Scott? You know, you've been in training and been a chief for a long time. You promote. What do you look for?
Bobby, thank you. Several things, but you know, I always say, is their gas tank full? And that's the give a shit level, right? Is you got to care. I think a lot of times respect comes from your competence. The men and women that you lead want you to know the job. So let's just say that they're committed to the craft. And there's a book by Tony Kearns called Going Pro, where he talks about three levels of professional. And the third level, Gordon Graham sent me the book, the highest level of professionalism is you continually seeking improvement, right? So to me, a good company officer is competent. He may not be the best at everything, but he can contribute in everything, whether it's at the technique level or at the task or tactics level strategically. But gives a shit about the position, the department, the job, the people they serve. And you know, I love to give these little surveys out when I go teach. And I just asked 100 firefighters that, what do you want from your officer? And it was amazing. I wrote it down. 68% in some form or fashion said, I want them to take the job or their responsibility more seriously. So that tells me out of these 100 firefighters, they don't feel that their officer, the person who is in charge of their survivability and welfare, don't take that seriously. And then the other is just care about the job. So that's what I look for. You know, I want somebody who's going to invest. I changed as a leader when my boys got on the job, right? Because I want to treat the men and women of my organization. They're all somebody's children or husbands or wives. And so I want that person who's going to move the company. They're going to continually work to help them get a little better, whether it's emotionally, physically, and then just give a shit and realize the awesome, awesome responsibility that you have for people in the firehouse, going back to what Larry said, and the people you go serve. And it's got to start there. I think if any one of those things is missing, then you're going to have challenges.
And it's not about ego. It's like what you guys have been saying. It's about caring for your people. It's about passion for the job. It's about if you care enough about your people, like Larry said, then you do everything you can to train them and make sure they are prepared and ready to go. As a company officer, if you show up, like we talk about in our class, the Minutemen, the guys that show up in under five, if you can show up in less than 5 minutes for your shift, you are never ready. You are never ready. I'll bet you if St. Elmo's gigantic steak dinner in Indianapolis, you're not ready. I can sit in the parking lot. You step out of your car. I got you. That means you have to run in. You have to put your gear in a rig, change your portable radio battery. Check. You can't even check your air pack the way the NFPA wants you to check your air pack under 5 minutes. Get your uniform on. And you're the boss. You're the company officer. The good bosses are there early. The good bosses are prepared. The good bosses are into the job. They know their people. They care about their people. You know, they're always learning. They're always reading. They're always training. You know, they're like Larry said, they're dialed in. They're into the job, and they're not crazy, nutty. Just, you know, we did a podcast a while back, John, and I called, you know, be like Tim. We talk about be more like Tim, Tim Klett, one of the best company officers in New York City, one of John's favorites. And we talk about why. And if you're aspiring, the role models are out there. There are people out there that you can go watch him, go watch her. If you, Bobby, at FDIC, I used to tell when Lisa was teaching for us from Canada, from Vaughan, Canada, she just retired as a captain of 30 years. I used to tell female fibroids, hook up with Lisa. She is, just hang with her, because she's just being around her is going to show you how to act, how to conduct yourself as a person, and then as a company officer, or just as a boss. Bobby, same thing. You grew up in New York City, but you grew up in the Albuquerque, New Mexico Fire Department. Very proactive, very productive, very busy-ass fire department. You started as a probationary firefighter, went all the way up to the top, you know, as a staff chief, as ops chief, and then chief right next door to us in Coppell. What made some of the great company officers for you in Albuquerque that you worked either for, with, you know, or worked for you at any of those places? What stood out in your mind, you know, just like Larry and Scott were talking about, and those great bosses, those great company officers?
Well, two things, and that's a great lead into and I'm going to tie in one of our folks off of Facebook. Mike wrote a thing, and he's a captain, and he wrote a quick note about a firefighter who he's trying to help in their system. Good guy, having a confidence issue, and he's worried about giving him too much attention and making the firefighter feel like he's being singled out, or, you know what I mean, or under pressure all the time. Sometimes, you know, when the spotlight's on you, people react differently to it. So I would say that Mike, whoever you are out there, and I appreciate you doing this, and I appreciate your note, and I don't want to throw his last name out. Well, he has Mike's Lawn Care, so it must be his business's Facebook page. But I'd like to work for a guy like Mike, and I work for guys like Mike, because Mike took the time to write this note because he's thinking that deeply about this firefighter who he's trying to help. And he's not saying, hey, what drills should I put him in, or blah, 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 blah. He already understands that the fellow's dealing with a confidence issue. And I know I've been fooling around with the, you know, teasing my buddy about his book. But seriously, Mike, this book could help you, because inside this book, Scott shares a lot of wisdom that he's acquired over the years about how to help develop good small unit leadership stuff. The other book I would recommend would be Mike Malone's book, Small Unit Leadership, which is the Army field manual for small unit leadership, has been for the last 40 years. So, which is a book I read routinely, once or twice a year. There's some books. The other book I would read is a book called by the Arbinger Institute, Leadership and the Art of Self-Deception. That's a great book. It's a very short pamphlet, Mike. I'd recommend Leadership and the Art of Self-Deception. It has a follow-up book to it, which is also great. It's just a short pamphlet. In this book, Chief Thompson talks about vision, right? So I think with a firefighter, like what Mike's trying to do right now, and why I like officers like Mike, is that have a vision for that firefighter. And by you already being sensitive to the fact that he could be overwhelmed, maybe take the pressure off, right? Like, not everybody is going to be, you know, Bobby Morris. Not everybody's going to be, you know, the greatest firefighter you've ever met. Not every firefighter is going to be John O'Connell. They're not going to be the whole package. But every firefighter has something to add to the crew. And one of the keys in Chief Thompson's book that he talks about is that, you know, iron sharpens iron, but also steel helps to reinforce concrete, right? So in other words, although iron sharpens iron, sometimes, you know, the wisdom and the steady hand that a Chief Lasky brings to a situation might offset, you know, the humor and the you know, recklessness that a Chief Halton might bring to an event, or the you know, vision that a Chief. So although all four of us are on this, if we were a company, you know, there might be a call where Chief Conley takes the lead. You know, there might be a call where Chief Thompson takes the lead. There might be a call where Ricky takes it, or I take it. But, you know, although one of us would be the officer, we all work off of the other's strengths. And so one of the things I would recommend to our friend Mike, was asking about his firefighter who he's worried about alienating and overwhelming, would be maybe take the pressure off of you a little bit and reach out to the Ricky or the Larry or the Scott on the team and say, hey, you know, how's Larry doing? Or, you know, or why don't you spend a little more time with Larry and help to build up their confidence that they are a member of the team. And not everybody is going to be Kevin Shea, or, you know what I mean? And not everybody's going to be, you know, Ray McCormack. You know, most of us are just going to be a Bobby Halton, a guy who is a good guy to work with for 20 years and got his pension and you know, start a lawn care business or a dog grooming business or whatever else you go on to. And that's fine. You know, what's most important, there's five pillars in life for me, and it's focus. In other words, whatever you're doing, do it. Pay attention to it. Be there or don't do it, right? It's the Zen thing, right? The Stoics and the Zens both shared that. In other words, be focused on what you're doing. Don't do anything half-assed. Don't do anything. Do it. When you're at work, be at work. When you're at home, be at home. The other is family. You know, make sure that your family is okay, your real family. Because after you leave this job, we talk about the fire family, but the fire family isn't going to remember you as long as your family is going to remember you. Trust me. Or as
the first
as
family, yeah.
Yeah, or as passionately, right? And the other one for me is faith, right? Like if you don't have some kind of faith in a higher power, in a purpose, I don't understand how you can do this job, quite honestly. And that's me. That's one of my pillars. And then finances, you know, always make sure that your house is in order, that you can pay the bills, that you can cover what you got to cover. Don't stretch yourself too thin. You know what I mean? That's a really important pillar. And then personal fitness. I take that very seriously. You know, and you know, Ricky knows I'm probably over the top compared to most people, but make sure that you're at least exercising at least 3 times a week, 7 days a week, if you really want to be, you know, healthy, but at least 3 times a week, be doing something for a half hour that keeps you in moderately good health. You know what I mean? And if you're going to be on the line, you know, dragging hose, throwing ladders, you should be in exceptionally good health. You should be, you know, and if you're not, you should take yourself off the line. And so for that, I think, you know, working out every day is important. I try to never miss, but I'll be honest with you, I missed one day this week, which was a really rare day for me. And because I'm Catholic, I'm still obsessing about it. I'll be confessing about it for the next 5 years. So because I'm Catholic, unapologetically Catholic. So, but those are my five pillars, right? And I think, Mike, to your point, if you look at your firefighter in that perspective, the whole perspective, how's he doing in his family life? How's he doing in his finances? How's his faith? The other stuff that you're really looking at now on the job stuff, throwing ladders or maybe, you know, getting his SCBA on time, that'll all come. You know what I mean? Those things, when you go down the hierarchy of what really matters in life to being a good firefighter, a good member of a team, really are pretty far down the spectrum. We drill on them all the time because they are far down the spectrum. Right. But the spectrum is way up here. I mean, is he the kind of guy that it's one final thing, and not to obsess over this question, but for many, many years, there was a town in Wisconsin, and it was Waukesha, Wisconsin, and they got hit by two bank robbers one day. And they were called the Oswalds, oddly enough, a father and son team, really bad guys. And they had a plan. They'd been robbing banks all over the state, all over the area. Anyway, they hit this bank. They went out, the high speed car chase. They shot a Captain Luntz. They killed him. They shot him, but they had a plan. They made a hard right, Ricky. You know how you make a hard right so you go blind? The captain came around. They'd stop. They got out. Boom, boom, executed him. Then, you know, shot him through the windshield, then went up and shot him point blank through his window. Now, they knew that the second dude cop chasing in the car chase would stop to render aid. The second dude cop went up, assessed there was nothing he could do for Captain Luntz, and kept chasing. And that's how they got caught. Because he and that cop, the second due cop, who didn't do what was expected of him, was a cop where, oh, you know, he was the guy nobody ever thought would amount to anything. He turned out to be like the biggest hero of the state for years because he caught these two really bad guys. So although we may assess somebody and believe that they're not like 100%, a lot of times we're missing the real quality. You know, we're missing. Barney Fife might have been the star of Andy of Mayberry, really. You know, when you think about it, Don Knotts, he was right there, just like Tim Conway on McHale's Navy. You know,
if you could see the lessons, like you're saying, there's a lesson behind all that. Everything they do, everything we laughed at, when you're done laughing, it's one of those you went, I get it now. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that. I would love to work for Mike's Lawn Care, seriously. And Mike, I don't know who you are, and I sure do appreciate your comment, but I would love to work for you because you're by saying that he's a good guy. I mean, that's like the greatest compliment you can give another person, right? Well, in today's world. You're a good guy.
And Bobby, it's similar. You know, I told this story once before. I was teaching at a department, and there was a volunteer. And on a Saturday, they caught a run for a structure fire. They all went out. We took a break. Wasn't much to it. They come back, and I'm heading to the men's room across the upper ash floor, and I'm walking, and between the tailboard of a pumper and a bumper, there's a captain talking to a young firefighter. And I'm doing one of these. I'm trying not to eavesdrop. You know, they're having obviously a conversation.
Yeah, you're listening as hard as you could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear the captain say, "So what are you doing Tuesday night about 7:30? He goes, "Well, meet me up here." You know, it's just you know. And I'm so later. I said, "What was that?" I have to ask. What was that all about? And he goes, "Well, we went to this call. He got off. His air pack was all twisted, and he was having a hard time. And you know how we are in the fire service. You know, too many times we beat you up instead of coach and counsel and teach you." He goes, "So I told him, what are you doing at 7:30 at Tuesday night? Because there's usually nobody up here. Meet me up here, and you and I are going to go over our donning doffing together." And Bobby, just as you said I'd work for Mike, I'm like, I told the guy, I want to work for you. This is the guy who said, you know, no one's going to be up here. You and I are going to do our air pack stuff together. And I went, instead of going, "You dumbass, what you should get out there and train yourself," he figured it out. So it just what you said, it, you know, I think a lot of what we touched on already about what makes that great company officer is you got to care about your people. You got to care about people in general.
You know, Scott Thompson, years ago, Ricky, you were there. Remember we were doing the nozzles with Kirk Allen? We were doing we were messing with the Vindicator out the drill field, Scott?
Yeah.
You probably don't remember this, but we were dragging something. I was doing like the forward pull, and you hit me on the shoulder. And remember we were pulling that, there was like a sked with the hose on it, and you said, "Hey, Halton, turn around. It's easier." Just simple stuff like that, right? But that's teamwork, right? And that's
that was 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's 35 years ago, almost 35 years. I'm dragging this stuff for, and he says, "Hey, turn around." You know, and lean, you know, fall into it. Don't try to pull it. You know, fall into it. And I was like, "Oh crap, that is easier." Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah.
I busted my balls about that for 3 days.
I think some people get all they get all hoodooed sometimes, thinking that they overcomplicate things. There's a million books written on change, and we've talked about this show before. My roommate in spring training, twice the Chicago White Sox, and Ron Kittle, ended up being a big ball player for the Chicago White Sox. He's still their big PR. He's one of their ambassadors, and that kid, he's a great guy. And we do this social media stuff back and forth with each other. And I remember about 3 years ago, he posted a meme, you know, a little thing. All it said was, "I got up this morning and didn't like what I saw, so I changed just like that. I got up this morning and didn't like what I saw, so I changed just like that." And I thought, you know, all these books people write about change, and, you know, sometimes I'm going back to what you said, Bobby. Sometimes I think we, in our efforts to fix stuff, we overfix stuff, we overcomplicate things instead of going, you know what? It goes back to what Larry said originally. If you care about your people, if you care about the job, you know, there's an acronym for you, CARE. You know, if you care about your people, care about your job, care, Bobby said, you care about yourself, you care about those, I mean, all that stuff ties in to make it for a great person, let alone a great company officer, you know. Let's do this so we don't run out of time here, because we're kind of leading towards this thing. Larry, let me ask you, all right, what would you recommend if I came up to you and said, "Larry, you know, Chief Connolly, I want to be a company officer. Maybe in a few years, you know, I've been out here for a few, but it's something I want to do. What advice do you give me to prepare? You know, so what advice would Chief Larry Connolly give to the up and coming or the brand new company officer that will allow them to be the Bobby Halton or the Scott Thompson? You know, the people that care about there. I was serious about bragging about Scott, where he brags on the people in the county all the time, you know, because he's one of those great bosses, and that's great bosses do. But what advice would you give that new guy or gal saying, "How can I get there?"
Well, first of all, I would definitely tell them it's a balance. We're in the people business, and I think Chief Peroncini really drove that home years ago. He was kind of ahead of his time, in my opinion, with that, because nobody thought about customer service in the way you thought customer service was at McDonald's. So, but have that balance. I don't think you care too much about people, but you can be too dialed into the people's skills and maybe lack on your skills that you need to do your job. So that's an imbalance. You can also be so double down on the skills, but not good on your people skills, and that's the imbalance. So you need to work toward maintaining that balance. The public cares about you being effective and efficient. And so when you are efficient, definitely that means as a company officer, you need to do all you need to do to keep track of things and training and, you know, to check those boxes, because that's important for the support of our job. But effective, people don't care about that when you get in the street. They don't care that you have to check a box and drill so many times that week. They care about, can you do your job? But one thing complements the other. So as a company officer, I would say two things you need to make sure you drill down on is take as many leadership and people skill classes as you can. If you're not good at that, or do what your mama should have taught you a long time ago, and then also drill down just as serious on knowing your craft. And people who know their craft, the people I've always admired and looked up to that were on the St. Louis Fire Department, and then when I got to know people nationally like you guys, the common thing I saw on some of the great ones was that balance between, you can wake them up at 3 a.m. and say, what's this in reference to the job, and they can rattle it off. But they also cared about people. One thing I appreciate, and I'll wrap it up with this, I appreciate about getting into the whole fire engineering FDIC family is that you all have mastered the people skills. I remember the first time I met Rick Lasky, and you know, you basically could have been at that point, and I've seen in other industries, you know, you got one of the biggest selling books in the history of the fire service, and you know, you're bigger than life. People say Rick Lasky, like, you know Rick Lasky? Yeah, I know Rick. No, but my point is that you could have had a kiss the ring mentality, but you didn't. You always been engaged, and before you knew my name or anybody's name, I've seen you interact with other people. Bobby has a problem walking down the hall. The FDIC, his handler's got to constantly move him along because he wants to talk to everybody and take a picture with everybody after, you know, his fiery celebrity style speech on stages, you know. And Scott Thompson, more I'm getting on Scott, I realized that I met Scott at, you know, a couple of conferences ago, and then when we got to talking, man, I didn't know you was that big, but dude, I was like, but he was so engaging. So I'm saying that gives me an indication that your people skills are where they need to be. So not only you are rock stars at your craft, you also are rock stars at doing what we basically are here to do, and that's to serve and care about people. And I think any company officer needs to understand that that's the balance they need to strive for when you're doing this business.
As much as we're into tactics and strategy and size up at a fire scene, you're right. We need to get better at sizing up people. I've said for years, we need to read people like we read smoke. Yeah.
Do a 360 of your people.
There you go.
That's an article.
I'm
writing it. There you go.
Larry Conley's got the article coming to Bobby. If you do a 360 on your people, that is awesome. Chief Thompson, what advice would you give to the up and coming or the new company officer?
Certainly what Larry says, you got to be a lifelong learner. I'm going to go back to what he said, the job and people. Keep learning about the job and people. But I've said this a couple times, but it was so impactful to me just a second. And it's what Pete Lund told me a long time ago, back in 1992, when I was in Plano, Texas. He said, Scott, you have every opportunity to be a firefighter at the highest level in Plano, Texas, as I do in the South Bronx. It's just going to look a little different. So I say that to say, always look for those opportunities. You know, it's like, you know, being a good Christian, we're always looking for opportunities to serve our God. Well, you're a leader of a small group. And that's why I named it kind of the functional fire company, because I believe that's what makes or breaks the organization. But just think about, you're in that position. Look for opportunities to serve your people in the firehouse and the people you respond to outside the firehouse. And I think if you do that, you're always going to stay true north.
Well, and I say it again, you've done that as a chief scout. You and I have worked together for a long time, mm-hmm. but there are some chiefs that get into a place, they hole up for a while, and they start approaching the decade mark or whatever, and they're no longer engaged, and they no longer talk about their guys. And I was being serious before. I said, "Well, you wear us out bragging on your guys," and I love that about you, because good bosses brag. Larry used to, I mean, guy, we used to talk about where he was at as a truck captain and where he's at now. Like I was serious. Whoever did the hiring process where he's at now, God bless you. That's a great chief there, because you know, stealing one of those gold nuggets out there is huge. And
you know, I learned a lot of that from you. You know, you're one of my huge mentors, and a lot of things that previous chiefs that I worked for told me weren't okay, you helped me realize that they are okay, and that had a huge impact on my career. So I thank you for that.
Well, and one of the things, yes, exactly. You look at this board, and one of the things, you know, Larry touched on is the saying that we've all used. Bruno said it for years ago. I use it all the time, is egos eat brains. You know, the people mm-hmm. here, every one of us will say, Bobby, how many times have you said it? And my buddy, John Salka, we look at each other going, is this not the most incredible thing in the world? We get to hang out with the coolest people in the world, firefighters. Yeah. We're just a couple of yutz firefighters, you know, we're just into the job. And we get to hang with some pretty cool people. And I think when you stay connected, when you stay grounded, when you know, there's a lot of people that you see them on the social media, they have the 9-foot arms that are always posted. I mean, you know, when I review articles for Bobby and Diane, when I get to about the 30th, they lose me. Even though all the years I've written for Bobby and Dustin, I've always said, well, the first thing we did was and people go, what do you mean we? Well, yeah, we. Well, was it you? Yeah, but I use we. I like to use we a lot, because there's enough I people out there. But I just...
None of us can do it alone.
No, every one of us has gotten to where we're at. Bob, you said this a long time ago. Every one of us has gotten to where we're at because of other people. And I love hanging with the people, my circle of friends that you see on this show and when we're hanging. You know why I love hanging with them? Because they love the job so much. You can't help but admire them. Bobby, closing thoughts. You got this bunch of kids grab you at FDIC, like they always do everywhere else too. But Chief, you know, we're they sent us because we're the top four candidates for captain in our department. Be first time ever be a company officer. What would you say to those guys that are they know they're getting promoted? These guys and gals standing in front of you for them to be successful. What would you tell them?
Well, I'll tell you that in 1 second, if I could. I just want to let Mike know those books were Leadership and the Art of Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute, Arbinger Institute, Leadership and the Art of Self-Deception. And the other book that I mentioned was Mike Malone's Small Unit Leadership. I'd also recommend anything by James Hornfisher if you want about company leadership. I try to read a book or two, well, or three a week. But this week I'm reading a really good one about the Jolly Rogers that was VF-17. I learn a lot by reading military history. I like military history, so I learn a lot there. But Leadership in the Art of Self-Deception, amazing, very short book. Anybody can read it in about a half hour, 45 minutes. It's a very short book, but it's a great book about us, people. It's a great insight into people. But I would close with this, and it was the best advice I ever got from anyone. And I actually got it from my son, Commander Dean Halton, Drama, call sign Drama. So Commander Drama told me a long time ago, he said, if you want to be successful as a company officer, you need three things to survive. Well, three things to thrive, two to survive. First, you have to know what's expected of your people and what they're going through, or you don't know what you're doing. Second, you've got to be a good firefighter, because if not, everything else is moot. You know, you got to be good at what you're doing. You got to know your job. You got to really pay attention to your job. He said, he was talking about pilots at the time. He said, or you'll be dead. And it's the same is true for us. And he said, the third thing is, you got to be a good dude. And then he said, Dad, if I have to explain that one to you, I can't help you. But that's it. Know what's expected of your people and what they're going through, or you don't know what you're doing, right? Be good at what you do. Know your job. Doesn't mean you have to be the best at it, but know your job, right? And then third, be kind, caring, considerate, be a good dude. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be everybody's buddy. I'm not everybody's buddy. Ricky knows I'm not that's not me. I'm not, you know, I'm not the going out to the bar guy. I don't drink. I'm not the hanging out after hours guy. That's not who I am. And these are three of my oldest and dearest friends. But I care about my friends, but I'm different. I'm not that guy, right? And I never was. And for when I was a company officer, guys got to know me that way. They were like, I wasn't the guy that was going to join the bowling team. I wasn't the guy that was going to show up at the barbecue. I don't do that. That's not what I do. I'm different that way, which is fine. But they knew I cared about them, right? So I took a very naval outlook towards company officer work. You're connected and disconnected at the same time, which is important for me. It was just the leadership model that I chose to adopt. So that's how I would close it. And I thank my son for it every day, who I think is a tremendous officer truly a naval officer, an old school naval officer. He cares deeply about his people, but he's not telling off-color jokes and drinking with them. You know what I mean? That's not what officers do. And so that would be my advice.
Well,
I'd like to hear how you'd answer that question if we got time.
Well, and Bobby just said it's that fire service maturity thing, that you can't be the same person. You can't be, you know, when you get promoted, everybody's a firefighter. Every Marine's a rifleman. Every sailor is a fireman, you know, firefighting, that whole thing. We talked right about that. But there's a point where you're not one of the boys or girls anymore. When you have to kitchen table, I always say fire service maturity, not on a boo-boo. That's right. You just can't, you have to realize what level you're at and where you're at. You can't bitch down to your guys. You can't talk bad about the chief. You're not supposed to do that stuff. You know, if you have an issue, call a buddy, have a little private conversation. But my thing would be, Scott, is what we've all said in this panel, and it's been the common theme of today. Number one, get into the job. If you're into the job and you know the job and you stay fine-tuned, and if you find yourself in a lull, go to a conference, read something, watch it. Because, I mean, if you can't get fired up with the people, we could go on. We could do a whole show on just the people you should be learning from and watching, like we all do. We're the learners. We've been doing this for a long time. And Bobby just said he reads something all the time. I read. So stay current. Read something about the job. Train your people. Kid came up to us in Atlanta, Georgia. We're doing a company arts academy. Leaned over during graduation and said, it's 57. I said, what's that? We're shaking hands. He goes, over 3 days, you and Chief Salka said over 57 different times I counted, it's always about your people. It's always about your people. It's always about your people. Whether it's training, whether it's caring about them, whatever. You know, if you want to be great at being a boss, the best boss ever worked for cared enough about you to be, like Bobby said, to be brutally honest with you when you needed it, but also to comfort you, like Larry talked about, and understand that people go through shit, man. People go through stuff. You got to read the whole package. To train them, Scott, like you said, and give them the tools they need to be the best, because there are no do-overs in the fire service. We get one chance to do it right. We all go to the funerals. We were joking about, and I was joking about the plumber too. You know, Larry, we were talking about that. But we got one chance. It's not like, hey, you burnt my pizza, go make me a new one. You know, we've been there. I did an article for Bobby a long time ago, not that long ago, but it was the most dangerous words of the fire service are not, because we've always done it this way. The most dangerous words of the fire service are, we never thought it would happen here. So as the company office realizes this right now, you're it, dude. You're it, dudette. You're it, man. The man or woman running it right in that front seat, it's not the chief 99 times 100. It's you. You set the tempo for your firehouse. You set the tempo for everything that happens prior to the bells even going off. You dictate how you're going to look out there. When you stand in front of Chief Halton and there's five companies in the street and some shit's going down and he goes, I need someone that really has their act together. And he reaches through everybody else and grabs you with your company. That's where you want to be. You want that boss, Chief Hall, to grab your ass and your guys above everyone else and go, come in here. Come on. This is really bad right now. I need someone I could go to that I have complete confidence in. You don't get that way when you don't care about your people. You don't care about the job. You're not into the job. be the guy that he chooses. Be the guy that he says, come here. You know, we've all done that. Every one of us has done it. Every one of us has said, we told on this show, Scott, when we had the double fatality with the kids. I had three captives standing there, one with his eyeballs big, the other one we already mentioned before the show, I wouldn't let walk my dog, and then Calvin Allison. And I'm like, you know what? We all have that. You look.
Send me.
That's it. I've never been picked second in my life, whether it was playing baseball with the White Sox, softball. I've never been picked second. I want Chief Hall to pick me to go in and do that. So be that person. So, hey, Larry, if they want to get a hold of Deputy Chief Larry Connolly from the Collins the Geniuses in Illinois in the hiring process, now, brother, how would they want, if they want to reach out to you, ask your advice, get you come teach, whatever, come for a visit at your new place, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Just right now, just getting in touch with me at, I'll just give you my phone number, 314-393-8203. Give me a call, and I'm just getting settled in with my new emails and desk stuff and all
he
that.
He started this week. He just started.
Yeah, started Monday, you know.
So, we already have him on the show.
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
And he
said, hey, Chief, and I'm like, you know.
We pulled him in.
Larry, I called you from where?
Collinsville.
Where was I?
Oh, yeah. You was.
I was in the airport.
Yeah, at the airport. Wow. We did our
radio show together.
Radio show. Monday.
And now Larry and I both work for the Collinsville Fire Department.
I live in Collinsville, Oklahoma,
and Larry's in Collinsville, Illinois.
Yeah, so we connected. We connected with that and the letter, the number 13.
13.
But just get in touch with us and like I said, I'll be happy to talk, advice, or we'll come teach or whatever you need from us or some information on the great city of Collinsville, Illinois, because the more I discover, the more I'm finding out it's a great place to work and I can't wait to get more into it and get to know more of the crews and lead them into a world-class, continue to lead them into a world-class fire department.
Well, like I said, I don't know who I was more excited for you or for the people that work there, man, with that hire. That was a great job by that chief. Scott, if they want to get a hold of you, buddy.
Got it. FireServiceLeadership.com.
Perfect. And if they want to get a copy of the best of the Functional Fire Company,
Fire Engineering Books and Videos. And thank you, Bobby, for the promo for the infomercial.
If you need to get a hold of me, it's 1-800-SPANK-ME.
1-800-SLAP-HIM. But I always say this for Bobby. If you don't know, I'm sorry, but open up the magazine.
Open the magazine.
Everything you need is right there for Chief Halton. So.
Or fireinstructor.com.
There you go. I'm Chief Lasky at gmail.com. And we want to thank you again for joining us as we always, we're definitely going to have Larry back on. What a great guy. Make sure if you're somewhere, if you can see the presentation he and his brother do, Powerless, please do it. It'll change. I guarantee you, it will change your life. The Functional Fire Company to Chief Thompson. But thanks, guys, for another great show. Hey, we're all on Facebook and Twitter and all the different social media sites. Our next show is next month, again, on the third Wednesday. We're going to have Joe Bonanno from the FDOI retired. Bobby pushed him
great
towards
cook.
Us. He had talked
great
to him,
cook.
And we finally got him on the show. We've had a hard time hooking that up. And we're going to talk about the kitchen table experience and family and how important that is in the fire service to get back to that. Fire Engineering always has some great, great hangouts on the Wednesdays here, some great podcasts. If you're not dialed into what they're doing with all the sites, just first of all, go to the site. At the top is everything you need from fire apparatus, stations, anything that goes in a fire station, not just apparatus.
And tomorrow, to the gals out there, we're having a great webcast with Sarah Jenke, Women's Health Issues in the Fire Service. Please join us tomorrow afternoon.
Absolutely adore Dr. Sarah Jenke. She is a realist. She is so smart, but she's such a true Bobby, genuine person. I love her post. I follow her. She is awesome. Don't miss that.
Check us out on the is that the 30th, right, Bobby? For me and David.
You will be the 30th. That the Connolly brothers will be doing their presentation on the 30th.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, folks, a lot of us, this is very close and personal too, and out there right now, especially in our world. we always end our shows by asking you in closing, you know, to please keep the men and women in armed forces in your thoughts and prayers. And remember this, please, never forgetting means just that, never forgetting. Be safe. God bless you. And we will see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Love you all. See you.